What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sports Stories with Bic here on Raw Football Talk. Thank you for all the love, the support that you show us on Instagram, on Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and wherever you get your podcasts. And today we have a very special episode, you guys. Last week I hopped on the great, new, exciting, wonderful My Football Heroes podcast with Paul, Bacon, and Lewis.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure having you on, Bic. You're a wonderful, wonderful guest. Show some great heroes. It was great to have you.
Yeah, definitely. I had a great time. And Lois, learned a lot from him in terms of how to really up your tempo when you're presenting. Right, Lois?
Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure about that. I think what you define as learning a lot is actually, you know, very unbearable if you have to spend a lot of time with me. But I'm very glad I had a positive impact on you, and you had a very positive impact on our podcast. Bic, you were one of the best guests we've ever had. I won't say the best because I don't want to offend anyone, but you weren't the worst. So I've probably offended someone there.
I appreciate that. And I think another person that we had a wonderful impact on was my Uncle Mueller. Obviously, yesterday was his birthday. Thank you guys for your birthday wishes. He loved it. He enjoyed it a lot. And he's an avid football fan as well. So he did send out his five football heroes and villains. And now he has a lot of heroes. He has plenty of villains. So it's more than five and one, but he really appreciates the kind words. So thank you guys for that.
Our pleasure.
No, tell Uncle Muller, number one, happy birthday. And number two, if we ever have a My Football Hero 7 hour sort of watch along and it's 54 football heroes and 11 villains, Uncle Muller will be the name that will come straight to my mind. I can promise you that Uncle Muller will always be in my mind anyway, especially yesterday on his birthday. It was a pleasure sending the video message to wish Uncle Muller a happy birthday. And I hope he did have a wonderful birthday as much as this podcast is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, it was a great birthday. We did a group, like a family FaceTime, and he enjoyed it. It was very spontaneous, actually. And that's the beauty of life when things happen spontaneously. But once again, he really appreciates the love and support. So thank you guys. So let's get right to it. Today, I know you guys have your own style. You have five football heroes, one villain. So in the same kind of, format, we decided to switch it up. And we're going to do three footballers and three musicians with the same career trajectories. Now, football is football. The only thing that you really have to discern and distinguish is whether it's American football or world football. And as everyone, all the listeners have already established, we're going to be talking about world football. But when it comes to music, there's going to be different genres. So there's going to be hip hop, there's going to be pop. And Lewis even has multiple artists that he's thinking about right now in that wonderful brain of his. So we're going to see what Lewis can come up with. And we'll get straight to it. That format is going to be Lewis will go first, Paul will go second, and I will go third. And we'll keep rotating. And essentially what it is we're going to pick three footballers and compare them to three musicians with the same career trajectories. So Lewis, take it away, my friend.
Okay, I'm first of all going to completely break up your rules and let you know that I haven't actually followed their career trajectories per se. What I've done is try and find a musician and relay them to a player. Okay. So I'm sorry if I've broken the rules. Please don't tell me off. I'm going to start with a few shout outs. I thought of Arsene Wenger and Madonna. Both are 70-year-old men. Gareth Bale and Ed Sheeran, both could live in a monkey sanctuary. Wayne Rooney and Elton John, both are quite chubby and wear a wig. Jamie Carragher and Ozzy Osbourne, both struggle with the English language. Abu Dhabi and Paul McCartney's ex-wife Heather Mills, both only have one leg. And Adrian Rabiot and Eminem, their mum has spoiled everything. So those are my shout outs. They didn't make the cut though. There was some loose links I made in my special little mind. My first one is David Alaba. And the musician who I thought he most resembled was Prince.
Wow. I want to hear this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, don't worry. I've thought about this stuff. Prince, the reason being versatility. Now, Alaba, we know him as a player. Alaba can play left back, center back, midfield. He plays number 10 for Austria. The reason why I thought Prince was really similar to him is because Prince is probably the most versatile musician has ever been. He was an amazing guitarist. He was a singer. He played bass. He could play drums. It was alleged that he could play 40 instruments. Wow. And on one album, he played all 17 instruments and produced the album himself. So I felt that I always like a player that's almost known as a utility player, but they're actually world class in a number of positions. And I thought that Prince was probably the closest to a David Alaba as far as the ability to be amazing at lots of different parts of music. And I thought that was really different to most musicians in a way. And just like Alaba can play different positions which require different roles, central defense midfield, creative midfield, wing back, center back. I think that the difference between playing a guitar, singing, writing songs, playing drums and a bass are as different in style as those things. So I thought that the versatility of Prince and the versatility of Alaba kind of resonated between the two.
Well said. When you said Prince and versatility, the first thing I could think of that this guy was not only versatile in terms of the instruments that he played, but also with his name, because he had plenty of stage names. And I think the one that really sticks out the most is the artist formerly known as Prince. So if there ever comes to a point where David Alaba is tired of playing as an attacking midfielder for Austria while playing as a left back, center back for Real Madrid, well, he can just change his name to the footballer formerly known as David Alaba and just do whatever the heck he wants.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I like that. I think it could also be known as the center back, formerly known as the left back. You know, there's a lot of namesake going on there as well. But the thing I really thought as well was, and this is why I went for Prince and Alaba, there's other players like Milner I thought of as well, is because Prince was absolutely amazing at literally five different things. And so is Alaba, where he's absolutely amazing at literally five things. He's world-class in five positions. And I think that the artist formerly known as Prince is probably the closest that music has to that.
I would agree. What about you, Paul?
No, I like it. The only other, I can't think of a musical artist who could really compete, but I could think of maybe a couple of other players. Someone like Ruud Gullit maybe could be another one who could fulfill a similar multi-skilled role.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think so. I just thought that I wanted to keep it real. I wanted to be down with the kids. I wanted to target that 18 to 23-year-old audience. I wanted to get the Snapchat generation. And I felt that Alaba was probably the guy that would probably do that. If I was to say Ruud Gullit, they may think, oh, that's the weird guy on the commentary. But I suppose everyone knows Alaba, and everyone knows that Alaba is insanely versatile. But I'd say, yeah, Gullit, even Rooney's worth a shout. But I had him with the Elton John one, so I couldn't go for him. But yeah, I think versatility and the ability to do a lot of different things really well. Alaba was a guy that stood out for me.
Definitely. Well, David Alaba is also known as the footballer that looks like Tyler, the Creator.
So, yes.
Yes.
There you have it.
Yes.
All right, Paul, you're next. What you got for us?
All right, then. Okay, well, my first comparison is, in my opinion, between two of the GOATs, Nas and Ronaldinho.
Ooh.
Okay, so I've got a few parallels here. So, you know, hear me out and then you can dispute what I've said. But the first one is Nas, he really first came to notoriety on the main Source track, Live at the Barbecue. Mm-hmm. And on that track, he opens the track, absolutely kills it. And a lot of it, if you hear it, now seems really familiar. His flow, the vocabulary he uses, his slang, it's all what we've really come to know as Nas. And I think everyone heard it. They were like, wow, this guy is amazing. But is he just amazing because he's on this main Source track with, you know, Vacanelli and with Large Professor? And that was a little bit like the same way when Ronaldinho broke through at the 2002 World Cup, where he was part of one of the greatest front lines of all time, the three R's with Rivaldo and Ronaldo. And everyone was also thinking, he's amazing, but is it just because he looks good in this company? Is he going to be able to maintain it? So that's the first parallel between those two. But then, a couple of years later for both of them, came each one's golden era. for Nas, Illmatic, for Ronaldinho, the Barcelona period. And for me, in my opinion, the heights reached in that album and that part of Ronaldinho's career, they're the highest heights in either game that I've seen. I mean, especially very influential on me. I mean, there was a time in my life when I used to listen to Illmatic all the way through every day. Yeah, I mean, I used to have to get the bus and then the train and then a walk to college. It was just enough time to make it through the whole album. And if I saw someone I knew, I'd just have to avoid them so I could listen through it. Because I had, you know, in the days when we had like a CD Walkman, not like not like a iPod now. So it was just easier to listen to it all the way through. And that's the mad thing. I listen to that album every day. I don't even know the names of any of the songs because I don't, I couldn't like tell you which one's which because I just listened to it all the way through. That album is like, the whole thing is like one song to me, the way I listen to it. Just flowed. And that's the same with Ronaldinho at Barcelona. The whole thing just flowed beautifully, like incredible games, moments, skills. His flows and his lyrics of Nas were like the skills Ronaldinho did. So yeah, that's the biggest parallel for me. They're peaks. They're the loftiest peaks of hip hop, football that I've ever seen. But then I guess the other thing is when you get that high, neither of them are quite able to maintain it. So they both had some good moments after that. AC Milan, It Was Written, Atletico Mineiro, Godson. But none of them were quite what we'd seen before, but they couldn't be. But it kind of doesn't matter because what they gave us at their best, it was, you know, it was the best. So that's, I guess that's my analogy. Big breakthrough, the highest of peaks, and then the rest of it, not so good, but with some good moments.
I think that's a wonderful, wonderful shout. And I think it's, yeah, to capture a moment in time, their peaks were also actually 10 years ahead. So Dino had his peak from 03 to what, 2005 was when he's absolutely his best. Same with Nas. Thing about Nas as well that he changed was with Ronaldinho. He had this syntax and this flow and the topics that he'd speak about were really different to like what you'd seen beforehand. And even afterwards, the nature of how he rapped, the things, the way he would use syllables in different manners, kind of is a metaphor for Dino. It's kind of special sort of playing style that you don't really see to the extent with players nowadays. That was kind of the same thing you'd have with Nas and also Dino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only thing that kind of stuck out is the Atletico Mineiro and Godson comparison. I think obviously
good album, Nat.
Yeah, very great album. And I think also when Ronaldinho was at Mineiro, was definitely past his prime. And yeah, I think an album that kind of encapsulates that would be Nasir. I thought Nasir was very underwhelming. You know, it had the hype. Kanye was producing it, you know, at the time. Someone who made like 7 song albums. I think Pusha T did it with Daytona. Nas did that. And, you know, it had all the hype, but it failed to meet expectations. And also, I would say King's Disease also to a lesser extent. But yeah, I definitely agree. When Ronaldinho, the highest of his highs was back in 04, 05, when he won the Ballon d'Or, totally destroyed Real Madrid in his first game, I believe it was. And then obviously Nas around the same time, you know, Illmatic's best album ever. And then around the same time, he dropped a lot of great songs, Ether, Stillmatic, Godson, Street Disciple. And then as, you know, as you turn to 06, 07, they kind of digress. But I agree with that. Go ahead, Luis.
Yeah, the thing about that as well is his albums after Illmatic were more a collection of songs and a couple of really good ones. And that's kind of what Dino's career became, wasn't it? It was kind of, he'd have some really good moments. He'd have some moments where he'd sort of, you look at him and you think, he's still got it. And then there'd be periods where you'd have some songs where you just think, what the hell is that? You know what I mean? And that would be kind of the same with Dino, like at AC Milan or for example, when he went back to Brazil with Flamenco, he had the game against Neymar. And that was kind of the made you look moment. You know what I mean? That was a moment where he sort of, the get down sort of period where you're like, nah, he's back. But it was very fleeting. And it'd be, the rest would be kind of filler games we just walk through, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I know you were saying about some of the later albums that, well, in my opinion, all of the later albums, maybe until the one that's come out this week, which seems a little bit different. But it got to the point with me, with Nas, and with Ronaldinho, where whatever they were doing, they're like, oh, if Ronaldinho, he's joined a team in, I know he's going to join a team in Mexico or something, or Nas got a new album out. I'd just be like, ah, oh, I'm just going to ignore it. I don't even want to listen to it because it's just going to ruin it for me. So I would just sort of, the later albums and the later part of Dino's career, I don't really know anything about it, whereas the earlier parts of both are massive influence on me throughout my life.
100%. All right. So first round, lowest you picked?
David Alaba, and the artist formerly known as David Alaba.
Paul, what was your pick?
Nas and Ronaldinho.
All right. And as for me, I think first pick, J. Cole and Sergio Busquets.
Okay.
And this is, honestly speaking, I was sort of struggling with this. I kind of pushed it off to the last minute. And what it reminds me of was a song by J. Cole. I forgot the title, but yeah, he starts out by saying, "It took me all day to find some inspiration. It just hit me like a ton of bricks, no renovation." And essentially, that's just how it was. And I thought of Sergio Busquets and J. Cole. Well, J. Cole around 07, 08 was dropping mixtapes left and right, trying to get Jay-Z to sign him to his record label. And then finally, lo and behold, it happened. At the same time, Jay-Z was J. Cole's mentor, same way that Pep Guardiola was Sergio Busquets' mentor. Because if it wasn't for Pep, Busquets would not be starting over Yaya Toure in that wonderful team that won 6 trophies in 1 year. And essentially, that's when Busquets broke into the team and he became Pep Guardiola's first name on his team sheet. And then what happened with J. Cole actually ended up featuring in Jay-Z's album, The Blueprint 3, I believe, and A Star Is Born. And then after that, he ended up, you know, being mainstream, dropping his first, you know, album. And then J. Cole finally solidified himself in the rap game, I would say around 2014 with Forest Hills Drive, or 2014, 2015, around that time. And by that time, Sergio Busquets had already won Champions Leagues, La Ligas, like I said, first name on the team sheet, and really was part of that pivotal midfield that made things tick in that tiki-taka system. And now we get to a point where we're in 2021 and Sergio Busquets is effectively Barcelona's captain because obviously Lionel Messi has now gone to PSG. And that's another story for another day. Obviously, I think it's a ripple effect. We're all even trying to understand it. But with Busquets, he happens to be the staple in that Barca team now. It's not Piqué. Piqué is old. And it's not Jordi Alba. It's Sergio Busquets because he's been there longer than they have, or around the same time as Piqué. But I digress. But that's Busquets. And then for J. Cole, he recently dropped his latest album, The Offseason, this year. And it looks like this might be his last ever album. So they're both getting to the twilight of their careers. So they came around the block at the same time. They had mentors, Guardiola and Jay-Z, that helped them solidify their names in their respective careers. And now they've gained a cult following of supporters. J. Cole fans will ride for J. Cole no matter what. Drake stans, Kendrick Lamar stans will come in and they will defend J. Cole no matter what, even if anyone tries to, you know, I guess, slander him or whatever. And Sergio Busquets, if you're a Barcelona fan, if you're a football purist, you know how much Sergio Busquets means to that team, to football in general. The role that he plays is very underrated, but also very hard to do because he's not the strongest, he's not the quickest, he's not the fastest, but he's the most technical. His technical ability is probably second to none, especially in that midfield. And he's part of that golden generation of Spanish footballers that won the Euros and won the World Cup. And also J. Cole happens to be part of the golden generation with alongside the likes of Drake and Kendrick Lamar that held down the rap game for the past 5 or 10 years. So Sergio Busquets is to football what J. Cole is to hip hop.
Yeah, nice pick. I like that. I think J. Cole, for me, there are a lot of people kind of my age and older, where it takes a lot for these younger rappers to impress us. We're very resistant and we think like, they're not golden era guys. But people like J. Cole, actually, when I eventually gave him a chance and I was like, wow, this guy is amazing. And Busquets was a bit like that too, because I remember Spain had the first round where they started to do really well. And I couldn't get my head around why Busquets would get into the national team ahead of Xabi Alonso, who I thought was amazing. So he was another one who had to work hard to impress me. So I can see them two as a nice comparison.
Yeah, no, it's a symmetry that to me actually works quite well. I think it's another example as well of someone with a huge degree of talent, but being in exactly the right place at exactly the right time and flourishing in the right structure. You know, there are footballers out there with a comparable level of ability to Busquets. There are probably artists out there with a comparable level of ability to J. Cole. But the difference between them is, number one, having that genius of the industry, Pep, Jay-Z, and them shadowing them through it. That's quite a good one. I quite like that. And I'll agree with Paul as well. I'm a really old man. But I wonder what people on the street think when they hear me talking, by the way. I'm a really old man, just saying that really loud. But what I would say is that, yeah, J. Cole's one of the few artists that have come out recently that have really impressed me. And whilst Jay-Z, Kanye, they're not as productive in the music industry as they were 10 years ago, J. Cole has almost taken a mantle now, where Guardiola's gone off and done his own thing. Like I said, Messi's gone. That's a conversation to have another time. Like you said, the DNA of that Barca team now is Busquets. It's not even Guardiola anymore. It's Busquets. He's now the flag bearer for hip-hop / the flag bearer for the historic La Masia Barca way.
100%. All right, Lewis, on that note, who is your second footballer / musician?
Yes, sir. Okay, my last one's a trio, so I'm going to go for the first one first. N'Golo Kanté is John Bonham. Now, maybe you've never heard of John Bonham. John Bonham is seen as the greatest drummer of all time. And for me, Kanté is a drummer. Now, John Bonham was in Led Zeppelin. I never understood why I quite liked Led Zeppelin until I actually listened to the drums. Kanté is the drummer of any football team that he's in. You can look at a drummer and think, what's the point of them? You know, they're like the most useless person in a band. Take the drummer out, suddenly the band doesn't exist anymore. John Bonham's seen as this drummer that managed to get the pace of the music perfectly. And to me, Kanté is the drummer. He follows the pace of the game. He holds the structure of the music / the game together. He cleans up the mistakes of the other artists on the pitch. Kanté is John Bonham, the greatest drummer that's ever appeared on a football pitch.
Yeah, nice.
Don't need to say anything more than that. Kanté is John Bonham. John Bonham, the greatest drummer of all time. Somebody who holds the music together. Honestly, listen to a band and take the drummer out. Suddenly you realize that without the drummer, the music doesn't mean anything. But when you listen to the music, you don't listen to the drum. Kanté can go through games. Basically, you don't actually see what he's done, but he's basically won the game for them. That's what I feel with the two of them.
I agree. I think the reason why there was really not much feedback is because at this point, if you are going to argue against N'Golo Kanté, then let's be honest, you don't know ball. It's as simple as that. N'Golo Kanté is someone, not just as a footballer, but as a human being, someone you cannot hate. It's as simple as that. We know his story. We know how humble of a guy he is. And also, we know how talented he is on the field. So at the end of the day, when you said N'Golo Kanté is essentially like a drummer in a rock band, or in any band in general, you're definitely right, because you don't really notice the contributions that they put in, the work that they really put in, until they're gone. And it's the same way with a song. You can hear two samples, one with a drum and one without. Most of the time, you're going to enjoy the one that has the drum, but you're not really going to notice it, because obviously you have the vocals, you have the guitarist, the piano, and everything else that would take over. So the drum will essentially just be a background noise, but then you take it out and you're like, whoa, where's the drum?
Yeah. The thing I'd say as well, like the reason why I said John Bonham is because I listened to a bit of his music last night, Led Zeppelin. And suddenly when you become aware of the drumming, you're like, oh my God, this is absolutely, anyone listening, listen to like when the levees break, and like you will hear, once you're aware of it, like if you become aware of what Kanté does, suddenly you can't stop thinking about it, how vital it is. And And not just that, Kante is the best in the entire world, maybe ever, at that role of fusing together everything and making it cohesive. So I think that's why I think that.
Real quickly, better than Makelele or Patrick Vieira?
Yeah, better. Yeah.
Okay.
The role he does, yeah. The role he does.
Okay.
She disagrees. It's a Makelele one. No, I think so. I think Makelele is a dedicated defensive midfielder. Vieira obviously is an amazing player, but more of a box-to-box player. I think that Kante's role actually is incredibly unique. For example, I think he's Vieira is obviously a great player. But I've never seen a footballer that's able to do so many things as Kante consistently as well. That's the thing about a drummer. They have to be consistent. You have to play the same beat every time and not miss a single beat. Kante's a guy. Best ever.
Yeah, thank you, Lewis. Great comparison. I think the last thing you said was can't miss a beat, and N'Golo Kante does not miss a single beat.
Nice. Paul,
who's your second artist / footballer?
Okay, well, this one, it might sound a little bit weird. My second one is Andres Iniesta is the ghost face killer from Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Okay, I kind of got three main points, but the first parallel is that these two guys were both part of some of the greatest teams of all time. So for Iniesta, Spain, 2008 to 2012, Barcelona, 2006 to 15, and in Ghostface case, the Wu-Tang Clan. And all
which
three
years?
Wow, that is, kidding. Yeah. That's a good point. But for a time, one of the greatest teams. And all three of them are arguably the greatest and most influential teams, because after that, the other teams that came up in hip hop and in football, they either came up with ways to try and beat them or they tried to copy them. They were massively influential, and they've been influential ever since. And yeah, both those guys, Ghostface Killer and Iniesta, they were fundamental components of those greatest teams of all time. And then the second point is, within those teams, although they were part of a great team, they both had one particular teammate who they connected with in particular. Iniesta, obviously, it was Xavi. And for Ghostface, it was Raekwon. And those two pairs really kind of drove their teams forward. So that's another comparison there. And then my third point is, quite simply, have you seen Iniesta? He looks like a ghost, but he's a killer. And I can't think of a better nickname for Iniesta than the Ghostface Killer, man. Pale, he's like a ghoulish figure. He looks dead, but before you know it, he's killed you. So yeah, for me, Iniesta, he is the Ghostface Killer.
Oh, can you say that one more time, please, for anyone who missed it? Have you seen Iniesta?
Have you seen Iniesta? He looks like a ghost, but he's a straight killer. He's got like a pale, ghoulish face. He looks kind of dead, but before you know it, he's killed you. Iniesta, the Ghostface Killer.
That's called bars.
That's really good.
You don't know anything about
it. A little funk flex impression right there. But nah, that's a great comparison. When you said Ghostface Killer, I didn't know where you're going to go with that. So I wanted to hear it, but I definitely see where you're coming from. Great shout.
One more point as well. Listen to this. This is Method Man. He's talking about Ghostface Killer, but he could be talking about Iniesta. He says, Ghostface Killer, he's on some Now You See Me, Now You Don't. That is Iniesta. Mm. That's why no one could stop him. He had the ball. He was gone. Now you see him. Now you don't. Ghosting around the pitch. So, yeah. Ghostface Killer, Iniesta.
My man. Perfect. Perfect. Great shout. For me, my second artist / musician. Now, this one is pretty straightforward. David Beckham and Jay-Z. David Beckham is a footballing, not just legend in terms of as a player, but also now as an owner. And he revolutionized the football atmosphere, the whole environment, the whole culture in the United States when he transferred over from Real Madrid to LA in 07. And the comparison I want to use with him and Jay-Z is that when David Beckham broke into that United squad back in the 90s, he was a very talented player, very young and talented player, the same way that Jay-Z was a young and talented MC. Now, at the time, if you were to look at the rap landscape, the hip hop landscape, you had the likes of Nas, you had the likes of Biggie, Tupac, everyone who was anyone was part of that 90s golden era. But Jay-Z still managed to make his name and break through during that golden era. You think of songs of songs like Hard Knock Life and plenty of earlier songs like Dead Presidents. And those are classics. And you would attribute those as one of the greatest Jay-Z songs you've ever heard. And it's true. And at the same time, David Beckham also had one of his legendary moments in the 90s. Now, some for good reasons, like the goal that he scored from the halfway line and the role that he had, you know, and as a young player, once again, part of the fame. I think he was part of class of 92. Don't quote me on that. But also at the same time, back in 98, he had one of his bonehead moments, I guess, being suckered in by Diego Simeone and literally became public enemy number one. And so they were young artists slash footballer in their careers, but they still made a splash. They still made headlines. And what happened was over time, they kind of aged like fine wine. So essentially, Jay-Z, it's 2009, and he's still, you know, the mogul that he is, whether it's in business, whether it's hip hop, branding, whatever it is. And essentially, it's the same thing for David Beckham. David Beckham, at one point, you can argue that he was one of the best players in the world, yes, but also the brand, his wife, his family, fashion, modeling, everything. David Beckham was not just David Beckham, the player. He was David Beckham, the brand. The same way Jay-Z was not only Jay-Z, the hip-hop artist, but Jay-Z, the brand as well. And so I say this to say David Beckham and Jay-Z essentially had very, very, very similar career trajectories. And now you get to a point where if you say Jay-Z and that person does not know who Jay-Z is, you question whether that guy's from or that person is from planet Earth. The same way that if you go up to someone and say, hey, have you know you heard about David Beckham's fill in the blank, whatever happened. And if someone says, who's David Beckham? You would look at him as if you just seen an alien. Like, which planet are you from if you don't know David Beckham? And so it's that sort of thing where their careers, their crafts, you can't place them in the box. It's not, we're not just talking about music or sports when we talk about David Beckham and Jay-Z. We also have to look at the business and, you know, the other ventures that they really tapped into. So David Beckham is to football what Jay-Z is to hip hop.
Well, my point was that David Beckham is probably the Jay-Z of football. But anyway, apart from that, first thing I want to say about this, you know, you mentioned Dead Presidents, you know, the video for that. That's the equivalent of like peak football in the late 90s, where you had Biggie, you had AZ, you had Nas, you had all these artists in the video playing craps at the end of it, if you remember that. That's the equivalent of like the Manu Changer room in 99, the amount of greatness he's around. Now, the point you made, which is perfect, Beckham's the first footballer to really harness the idea of image brand, of brand, and monopolizing that brand and becoming a cultural icon in exactly the same way Jay-Z has done. Jay-Z's created clothing lines. Jay-Z's created labels, you know, and then you've got that comparison as well between the people that are coming up at the same time as Jay-Z and the people coming up at the same time as Beckham. You know, that probably means Beanie Siegel is like Nicky Butt. You know what I mean? He just went up to levels that were just much higher than anyone around that time. So I think it's a good example. And I think another example is nobody would say Beckham is the best footballer of all time. Jay-Z, in my opinion, is a great rapper, but there are better lyricists out there. But yeah, these two guys are at the top of the mountaintop.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. In my opinion, neither of them are the most talented, but they are actually both probably the biggest. And that's from that, like the hustle, their drive, and all the things they've put around them. So I think that's a really, really good analogy, Bic.
Transcending the genre they came from and owning it. Proper good example, but that might be the strongest one with the Ghostface Killah so far.
100%. And yeah, so we've done our first two. Lois, who is your third musician slash footballer?
All right. So this is threefold, okay? And I have gone through the history of music to find the world we live in today. So my third one is Pep Guardiola. But I need to go on a backstory for this. Pep Guardiola is James Brown. So hear me out here, okay?
Okay.
So when you listen to music today, all of it, all of it. Any popular music, hip-hop, R&B, anything, will have its roots in soul music. James Brown is a godfather of soul. Any football you watch today will have some DNA of the great Barca side, the great Barca side of the 2000s. That is the preeminent footballing era that we live through. Soul music is a preeminent musical era that we've lived through for 50 years now. I'm not even going to stop there. Johan Cruyff is jazz music. Johan Cruyff is Miles Davis, because without jazz, you would not have soul music. Like without Cruyff, you would not have Guardiola. I'm going to go another step back. Rinus Michels is blues music. Rinus Michels is Muddy Waters. These three genres of music have developed and evolved into Motown, into soul. Through that, then you had people like Grandmaster Flash, MC Big Herc. That's Messi. That's Busquets.
Because Lois, breaking news. I actually have to come in and do my best Jeff Stelling impression. We are live at Brentford Community Stadium, where Brentford has scored their second goal against Arsenal in the 72nd minute.
And oh, yes.
Would you have it? Brentford, shall I say, the best team in London?
Wow. Best team in West London.
The only team in London. That's a bit harsh on QPR. Wow. That's unbelievable. What a start to the season. So now it would seem Arsenal and our favourites get relegated. Mikel Arteta, another son of Pep. My analogy has not worked. Now the preeminent footballing theme throughout the world is trying to find a musician that's linked to Thomas Frank. Well done. These games always happen as well, by the way. First game of the season, always there's an upset. And this time, it's the Arsenal fans who are upset. It couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of guys, but the first thing I'm going to do when I get off this podcast is watch Arsenal Fan TV and watch the worst meltdown since the Chernobyl reactor went berserk.
And it's Norgaard who got a close header and a tap-in, and Brentford are wearing white and red, just the same way that Stoke City and Rory Delap took the long throw-ins, and it effectively came from a long throw-in, so poetic justice.
Yeah,
they've never been able to deal with those, have they?
Christian Norgaard.
Yeah. To quote Troy Deeney, they are physically and mentally weak at Arsenal, and they've proven it once again. Lob the ball in the box and elbow some people, you'll win. That's the blueprint with that. That's an amazing result. What a start to the season. Paul, knock yourself out.
Okay, sorry. So, my final one is Francesco Totti and Kano. I had to come on and choose a UK MC. Sorry to any American listeners who may not be familiar with Kano, but if you're unaware of them, Totti, he's the greatest Roma player of all time, a captain, played there for 25 years, won the title 2001. And then Kano, he's like one of the forefathers of grime, UK hip hop. And people like Dave, Stormzy today, they'd all pay homage to Kano. So if you haven't heard from him, you should check him out. But anyway, my first point is that these two are both slept on in the wider consciousness, because people talk about great number 10s. They talk about Zidane, Maradona, Messi, Neymar. And they're all great, but Totti never gets a mention. And same thing with Kano. People talk about the best MCs. Kano doesn't get a mention. But for people who like these guys, they get hold in a real higher echelon. So, yeah, they both got a kind of legendary status. Second thing is longevity and versatility. Totti played until he was 39. And he was number 10, a center forward, a passing player, assists, free kicks, really creative player, and also won a European Golden Boot 1 year. And Kano also, suit like smooth voice, he can rap slow, can rap fast, he's lyrical, conscious, but really aggressive. So both versatile and both had really long careers that sort of were kind of throughout a lot of my life. So they both meant a lot to me. And then the other main thing is that they are both two of the people who have kept it the most really, 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 really real. Totti, he could have gone to Real Madrid. He could have become a Galactico, just like all the other Roma players over the years, Alisson, Cafu, Marquinhos, Mo Salah, they've all gone elsewhere, won leagues, won a Champions League. But Totti stayed there because that one title there was worth more than if he went and won it all somewhere else. And Kano, just the same, when the other grime and UK hip-hop artists, Wiley, Dizzy Rascal, people like that, they collaborate with artists, get number ones. Kano never did that. he's never had the sort of adulation that some of them have had. But yeah, that's the two of those guys. And then the last thing is they've got a kind of both got a little subplot. Totti's associated with Roma, but also his career with Italy, won the World Cup. That was amazing. And similarly, Kano on the side is a really well thought of actor in the Netflix show Top Boy. I think that's popular in America. People may be familiar with that. So yeah, that's those guys. Longevity, versatility, loyalty, really, really real. And another string to their bow.
I want to just add to that as well. I think there's a parallel between being one of the early British rappers and playing for a club like Roma, if you know what I mean. Whereas hip-hop is historically always been American, and Roma have always been a smaller sort of footballing club within Europe. And I suppose coming from the UK and playing for Roma, there's a parallel to be made there between the two.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing I mean to add is the whole loyalty factor as well. You know, nowadays players can sign 5-year contracts, but will not see it out. Francesco Totti did not do that. He played until he was about 39 years old, and he played all of his career with Roma. And it's definitely one of those things where it's not very common. But for him, like you mentioned, Paul, that one Scudetto with Roma meant so much more than a Champions League or La Liga with Real Madrid or any other top club. And good for him that he ended up winning the World Cup in 2006, because his career deserved at least some sort of silverware, and he did that. So loyalty pays off, and he's an embodiment of that.
Yes, definitely. Two of my favorites.
All right. Well, as a curtain raiser, my last...
What you got for us, Beck?
Last musician / footballer. And I think this one, I was saving the best for last. So I'm comparing Michael Jackson with Diego Armando Maradona.
Okay, he's gone big. He's gone big for this one.
Go big.
I thought you were going to go Adam Johnson.
So Michael Jackson is the greatest musician ever. You can argue all you want. Michael Jackson's the greatest musician ever. And Diego Maradona is probably the most, if not the best footballer ever, probably the most talented footballer that we've ever seen. Those are two things that you cannot doubt about them. And the main comparison for me is obviously, you know, the time, the era that they were at the peak of their powers. The same time, well, actually Maradona was, you know, more sort of towards 70s, 80s, Michael Jackson, 80s, 90s, but still pretty similar. And, you know, Michael Jackson is very talented, so talented that he did it in the 80s, in the 90s, 2000s, up until, you know, his untimely death in back in 2009. And you couldn't question his talent, but there is also that kind of elephant in the room when it comes to the his personal life, essentially. And there was always questions about, you know, the allegations and things of that matter. But at the end of the day, that didn't really stop him from performing at the peak of his powers. And with Maradona, obviously, we know he had major health issues, you know, lifestyle problems, you know, with drugs and what have you. But you would just watch Maradona do his thing in a football pitch and you would be amazed. And so it makes sense why someone would try and drug test him after a game back in 94, where he literally tore the Greek defenders apart. And, you know, obviously with that sort of celebration, then they picked him to do the drug testing. But Maradona, regardless of whatever he was doing or whatever he wasn't doing, he was still one of the most talented players you've ever seen. You know, people would go and watch Maradona just dribble and juggle a soccer ball, just do keepy uppies. He would kick the ball up high in the air, and the soccer ball would literally be in the sky and wave hello to a chopper, a helicopter, and come back down. And he would literally bring it down as if he's bringing down a baby and just cradle it. And the ball would be a magnet to his foot. That's how talented he was. I think Gary Lineker said that he saw that live and he was amazed, and he knew that he wasn't as talented as he was, because if he tried that, then obviously he wouldn't replicate it. But when you get high praise from your fellow professionals, obviously it means different. You know, pundits have opinions. Us fans, we have our opinions. But when a fellow professional says that, I watched him do that live and I knew I couldn't do it. And I knew that's how I knew he was the best, that I wasn't as talented as he was. That's obviously high praise. And with Michael Jackson, pretty sure there's been
plenty of celebrities. You know, we talked about Prince earlier, Prince, Madonna, whoever, Chris Brown. He's influenced so many people, and they will be the first ones to tell you like Michael Jackson is probably the greatest performer ever. And it's those sort of, you know, dynamics, parallels that the both Maradona and Michael Jackson had that made me think like, wow, you know, Michael Jackson, countless hits, Billie Jean. I'm blanking right now because there's just so many, but you know, you can't
Man
really...
in the mirror.
There you go. There we go. I like that, Louis. Kind of scared me there, but I like that rendition. But yeah, you know, don't stop till you get enough. There's so many songs out there that, yeah. And essentially Michael Jackson is the sort of artist where you don't even need to listen to him like consistently. But when a Michael Jackson comes on, you know who's singing that song. You know who Michael Jackson is. And essentially it's the same thing with Maradona. Maradona won a World Cup. Maradona had, I'm pretty sure he had a Copa America here and there. And he did win a Serie A, I believe.
World Cup.
Yes, obviously he had the World Cup. But I think one of his greatest legacies also on the club side with Napoli. You know, when Maradona passed away, the whole city of Naples grieved because he was their hero. He was such an icon. And essentially, it's the same way. I don't know about you guys, but I remember the day when both of them passed away. I remember clearly when Michael Jackson passed away, I was about, I want to say 12, 13 years old. And I remember being in my living room, sitting down and talking with my mom. I turn on the TV and CNN, and CNN reports that Michael Jackson had passed away at the age of 50. And it felt so surreal. I'm like, wow, did he really? Or is it just like some sort of PR stunt? But no, I mean, unfortunately it happened. And in the same way with Diego Armando Maradona, I remember the moment, the same basement I'm sitting down and talking to you guys. And that's where I was when I heard that Maradona had passed away. And it's those sort of things that you will forever remember what you were doing when that moment happened. And that's also another thing I wanted to bring up is when it comes to legends, sometimes we remember them after they had passed away. But for Michael Jackson and Diego Armando Maradona, we always remember them when they were here. So when that moment happened, it just felt so surreal. It wasn't something like where you give someone their flowers after they passed away. We gave Michael Jackson and Maradona, not only did we give them flowers, but we also took away their flowers when they were alive. So when it was time for them to go, we gave them their flowers one more time.
Yeah, that's well said, Bic. They are, you're absolutely right. They're two people who reach a status in the minds of the, you know, their supporters, which is almost kind of like a godlike thing, isn't it? They're otherworldly the way people think of them.
Yeah, I think as well, they're people that you just say MJ, you say Maradona, and everyone will have their own interpretation of it. They also have that kind of gold stamp of quality. Like, for example, you say, oh, there's a Maradona film out. Oh, there's a Michael Jackson song out. You know it's going to be good. You know what I mean? People that were kind of ruined by their private lives in a way. And also another thing with those two, as Maradona went really fat and really thin as well, his face kind of changed as well. So they had a lot of physical similarities as well. No, he did. You never knew what Maradona you're going to get. But I think, I think both products of the 80s as well, both real sort of global phenomenons that transcended sport again. And both, like you said, Paul, for the followers of them, quasi-religious figures, which is so weird, such a almost above Beckham and Jay-Z even in that kind of summit of human gods in a way. So, I think that's a good example. And also, last time I saw Maradona on TV, he was wearing 5 watches on his arm and Michael Jackson had the glove, didn't he? He was like an icon. True. So they had their little things, didn't they?
Definitely. And I mean, Michael Jackson had the iconic gloves, the I'm blanking here, the shuffle, the moonwalk. And Maradona and Maradona had, well, he didn't have a signature move, but when you try to step up and go against Maradona, he might as well just hit you with a reverse moonwalk because you're not getting there. You're not getting that ball away from him. So very iconic.
But the way you say, like, you know, he had the moonwalk. Maradona had stuff like the hand of God, you know, the goal of the century. Yeah. You know what I mean? He had his own little moves that, like, You say Moonwalk, you think Michael Jackson. You say Hand of God, you think Maradona, you know? And that's kind of, and they're like redeemers of their people in a way as well. And I think that's the thing, you know, Michael Jackson, I have my own opinions on Michael Jackson, which are fair. But I think there's no arguing that Michael Jackson touched a lot of people's hearts in a way that Maradona did as well. You know, they both really resonated with people and had a message for people. And I think that if you listen to Michael Jackson's music, Quincy Jones wrote a lot of Michael Jackson's music, but Michael Jackson performed them. And Maradona was the same. Without Maradona, without Michael Jackson, a light is put out in the world.
100%. And so those were our three footballers and three musicians with similar career trajectories. Now, chaps, before we head out, I have two questions for you. What is your song of the summer of 2021?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question.
So mine is from the new Dave album. And it's and it would be as I would go for the one track I'd go for would be In the Fire. If you haven't heard it, you've got to check it out. There's loads of MCs on it. I don't even want to say which MCs are on it because when you're listening to it, it's like there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. So I don't want to ruin the punchline. So check it out. Dave In the Fire.
So it's a posse cut.
Yes, it's like the UK Wu-Tang.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a nice shout. That's a nice shout. I've gone on my most listen to music for the summer because unlike Paul, whenever I answer a question, it's based upon a huge element of research. And on Spotify, my song of the summer so far is actually Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. Good song. Sampled a lot as well. Good song. What about you, Bic?
My song of the summer is Buju featuring Burna Boy. It's called Lenu. And it's the remix, and it's a great song. I've listened to it probably hundreds of times already. It's only been 3 months in the summer, but I've probably hit the 100 play mark. And it's a great song, and yeah, definitely check it out. I was going to say, Paul, you mentioned the British Wu-Tang. Does that mean that Dave is Ghostface Killer?
I mean, I don't want to get into another big comparison now, but I'd say, I don't know, Dave is maybe Method Man or GZA.
I think he's Method Man, to be honest with you. I think Jordan Henderson is probably Ghostface Killer of the UK at the moment.
I like that. And lastly, chaps, well, we're getting to a point where Brentford will go and beat Arsenal 2-0 in the opener of the 2021-2022 Premier League season. So with that out of the way, who is your top four?
Boy. Oh,
man.
Oh, boy. Big, these questions, man, you've got some PhD in journalism going on here. These are questions. I wasn't ready for this, Jelly. That's a Jay-Z reference. No worries. You want to go first, Paul, or shall I?
Yeah, I'll go first because, you know, I'm a big Spurs fan. But I don't think I can really stand here and say that Tottenham are going to make it. I just don't.
The top four, not the bottom four.
Come on. Listen, man, that's going too far. We'll be closer to the top four than the bottom four, but maybe only by one or two spots. But yeah, I don't think I can claim Spurs are going to be in there. And I think it's going to be a real elite top four this year. I mean, it's highly likely that it's going to be Manchester City, Chelsea, Manchester United, and Liverpool, you would think, wouldn't you?
That's it. That's mine. City, Chelsea, United, Liverpool. That's my top four.
Yeah, I think it's Chelsea are looking dangerous. And as long as Tottenham are above Arsenal, I'll take it. And thank you, Brentford. Really? We're already halfway there.
Brentford fifth. I've been giving this some thought. It's so hard to look past Man City to win the league, but I'm not going to say Man City. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win the league. Ooh. I don't know why. Yeah, no, I think them having all their players back will make such a difference. A lot of their players didn't really have a big role in the Euros. So I think that will have some impact. I think people like Trent, Robertson, Trent didn't even play. I think having Virgil back will be a big deal. I think they've got the most stable squad of the whole team. I think Man City will come second. I really do think Man United are going to have a good season. I think the Sancho purchase and the Varane purchase are genuinely elite. caliber of player. That's for Coach Kojo. But I think Chelsea will come third. I think Man U will come fourth. I think Chelsea with Lukaku, they've got one of the missing pieces of the puzzle. So I think it'd be Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Chelsea.
So Man United will finish above Chelsea is what you're telling me.
I think so. I think they might. Oh, I don't know, because now I'm thinking that Chelsea are definitely going to win the league. What are you talking about? I don't know.
I think Chelsea are going to be second, personally.
Yeah. No, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Man U. That's what I go for.
Perfect.
Elite. All four of those teams. It'll be the highest quality top four, I'd say, since the mid-2000s.
Perfect. And hopefully Swansea will get promoted. Right, Lewis?
Yeah. I mean... We have a new manager whose first name is Russell. You know what I mean? What's that all about? So I'm not feeling too good about it. But at the same time, you love your team. It doesn't really matter where they end up. So we may get relegated to League One. But Vic, I know I can always rely on you for support of Swansea City. I'll send you a football shirt as well. Swansea shirt. It looks good this season. The kit looks amazing. That's one thing to bear in mind about Swansea.
That's awesome. And we talked about loyalty earlier. So it's great that you have your Francesco Totti hat on and you will remain true to Swansea no matter what. Love to see it.
I appreciate it, Vic. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you as well.
Thank you, Lewis. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for hopping on another episode of Sports Stories here on Raw Football Talk. This has been a pleasure. Learned a lot about the UK landscape. You know, me being in DC, or us being in DC, we can only listen to Dave, Agent Dave, who finally got us Jadon Sancho. So shout out Agent Dave as well. Method Man of UK rap. Is that what
we used to call? I reckon that's fair. Yeah. I reckon that's fair.
Yeah.
Although Dave actually can play loads of instruments as well. So he could be the prince or the artist formerly known as Dave of Britain.
The artist formerly known as Santan Dave.
But realistically, Dave is actually Kendrick. That is the actual truth. If I have to stick, Method Man, if I had to stick from Wu-Tang, Dave is Kendrick, realistically.
All right. Well, there you have it, chaps. Thank you so much once again for hopping on. And thank you for showing love, not only to myself, but for Uncle Mueller and for Mito as well. I told Mito about the last episode and, you know, he shouted you guys out. And thank you for everything and just keep it going. We'd love to create content with you guys and, you know, learn and really just enjoy time together. And for the listeners, thank you for sticking with us until the end. We appreciate you as always. Keep supporting Raw Football Talk on different platforms, on Instagram, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify. And also thank you for showing love to the merch page as well. And so we definitely appreciate you guys on that front. Hope everyone has a safe and wonderful holiday weekend. I don't know why I said holiday. Maybe Memorial Day is coming up. Do you guys have a holiday in UK coming up?
I'm going on holiday, but I am actually going on holiday tomorrow, but it's not a national holiday.
Well, Well, hope everyone has a wonderful Paul Bacon holiday weekend.
Yes. Hold on. I have to cut this very quickly. For all you listeners out there, listen to the second best football podcast in the entire world after My Football Heroes. Listen to this. Paul, he's in his job. He's on holiday for 6 weeks. What is that all about? That's terrible, isn't it? Vic, I'm at the coal face. I'm grinding away.
I call that paternity leave. How about that?
Yeah, no. I'm not having that.
Annual.
I'm not having that because I've got... he gets it every year. He's not having a child every year. Or are you? Maybe a plot twist. Plot twist.
Don't get him in trouble now. Don't get him in trouble.
Yeah. Careful, Paul.
That's it, Lou. Thank you, Vic.
Yeah, nice one, Vic.
Thanks, chaps. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Talk to you too, man.
You too, mate. Nice one, mate. Have a nice 7-month holiday, Paul.